Up next, the latest on the Karnataka election trail. Will the BJP ex-Chief Minister Yediyurappa's son be pitted against the ex-Congress Chief Minister Siddaramaiah? We'll be doing a deep dive, not just onto that, but also the BJP government's decision to remove the 4% reservation that Muslims in the state had once accessed. Is communal polarization with the removal of this reservation, is that the way this is all going to happen, or is caste arithmetic the primary factor in these elections? Well, joining us now to look at this, Madhu Rao, BJP spokesperson of Karnataka. We're also joined by Lavanya Balal of the Congress, Pratap Kanagal of the JDS, and my colleague TM Veera Raghav. Thank you all very much for being with us. Let me come to the BJP first. You know, Mr. Rao, what is this all about? Mr. Yediyurappa's son, is the party looking to cement his future in putting him in this key contest against Mr. Siddaramaiah?
Well, first of all, good evening to all of you and your viewers. Vishnu, I think this is a thing which needs to be decided by the party. And we have a party hierarchy wherein the core committee decides as to who should be contesting from which seat. And that would be decided by the BJP parliamentary committee. So therefore, it is left to the discretion of those two committees as to who will be fighting from which constituency. Well, if it is to be so that it will be fitted against Mr. Siddaramaiah, so be it. It's fair. So therefore, I am at least now I can say that since the process has been started, I think in a few days you'd be able to come to know as to who will be contesting against whom.
But that's interesting. Yeah, since Madhu Rao isn't giving me an answer at all, Veera Raghav, why don't you come in and tell me, is this about cementing the future of the Yediyurappa family, Mr. Yediyurappa, the tallest leader of the BJP in Karnataka, his heir, cementing the role and you know, of the role of the family in Karnataka politics? Is this how you would see this decision to have him contest in the seat against Mr. Siddaramaiah?
It's just a mere statement at the moment, Vishnu. It's not a decision as yet. I'd like to wait and see if it actually happens. My hunch tells me it's just a statement and it'll remain the statement that way. Because if it's got to happen, then what happens to Shikaripura? Remember, this is all coming at a time when everyone's talking about seats. Siddaramaiah is talking about a second seat for himself at Kolar. So I'm not insinuating that there is some connection. But politics results in strange bedfellows. And who knows, wheels within wheels, what's operating there. There has been talk in Karnataka for a while about this Yediyurappa-Siddaramaiah equation. These are both strong leaders within their parties, the largest leaders in their parties, which their parties want to move forward from. But they are also trying to keep the narrative around themselves largely. So it would be very difficult to guess what this really is going on behind the scenes at the moment. But I think I'd like to wait to make a judgment on it till actually the seats are all announced, because it seems a little early at the moment to make any assessment.
Lavanya, is Mr. Siddaramaiah going to contest a second seat? Are you worried about the prospect of Yediyurappa's son contesting against him in this key constituency?
Absolutely not. We are not worried about who is going to be contesting against Mr. Siddaramaiah in either of the constituencies. Yes, Siddaramaiah ji is very keen on contesting from two constituencies this time as well. So he might contest in Kolar as well. That decision has not been taken by the High Command as of yet. Neither has the Election Committee of Congress commented about it. But yes, he'll be contesting from Varuna, and we do not really focus on who his opposition party candidates are going to be.
Oh, come on. That's the basis on how you do your calculations in every seat, every party does.
Vishnu, it doesn't matter to us if it is Mr. Yediyurappa's son there, because like Veera Raghav was saying...
And your next sentence is going to be, you're going to win anyway, right?
Yes, we win the constituency.
Mr. Rao, go ahead. You had a point. Yes.
No, I just wanted an interjection. One thing is for sure, whichever seat Mr. Siddaramaiah contests, of course, he is our political opponent. We will ensure that he will be defeated, be it Kolar, be it Varuna, wherever he is. In fact, I must say that he went all around the state in order to find a seat. I mean, a tallest leader for the Congress party, having given 13 budgets and being a one-time chief minister, and he was instrumental in getting seats to everyone. I mean, alas, he could not find a seat. I mean, you know, the last few days, they extended their seat allocation list perhaps for 4 to 5 days in order to be very sure as to which seats to be allocated. So therefore, I would say, Lavanya can speak later, please. I didn't interject.
Lavanya,
so therefore, I would say, in fact, I think I have a fact also to say, I think it's open to everyone. In fact, Siddaramaiah had, in fact, opened even a war room in Kolar and inaugurated the war room. And alas, at the last moment, they thought that it is fit to be shifted to Varuna. Perhaps on thinking that he would be losing the seat in Kolar.
Okay. Otherwise, let's get Lavanya to respond to that, and let's move on. Moving away between the Yediyurappa, Siddaramaiah potential battle. Yeah. Yes, Lavanya.
Yeah, Madhu Rao should stop throwing theories about what is happening within the Congress party. He should tell us who is the CM face for BJP this time in Karnataka.
It's under the leadership of Bommai. There's no doubt about it. In fact, if there is any problem, it's in the Congress party. There's a faction between DK Shivakumar as well as Siddaramaiah.
Rao, you should allow me to speak.
Go ahead.
I was thinking you didn't have an answer.
Stop talking, please, when I'm talking.
Yeah. Lavanya,
My point is, if Mr. Bommai was a CM candidate, why did Mr. Modi and Amit Shah fail to say he is the CM candidate and they are seeking votes in the name of Mr. Modi and Yediyurappa ji? Why not?
We have a leader unlike Rahul Gandhi.
Lavanya, let me ask you this question. If we are talking about the entire leadership issue. You know, before I go across to Mr. Kanagal, I know you've been waiting, but just bear with me for a few minutes. Lavanya, you know, on the entire issue of leadership, the Congress has stayed away from a Rahul versus Modi straight fight narrative in Karnataka, right? You've kept your focus on local leadership. Is there a worry that the Kolar rally of Rahul, I mean, his first rally is going to be in Kolar. That's where he got in trouble, made those defamatory remarks. The fact that, you know, you're pitching him over there could, in fact, end making Karnataka into a Modi versus Rahul battle.
Well, Vishnu, we are never bothered about making it about two national leaders because Congress has never fought an election in Karnataka, especially by making it a Modi versus Rahul Gandhi. If you look at BJP, you know, the BJP has said last time also in 2018, you should vote for Modi. And this time around, they're once again saying, please vote for Modi. You have to understand, citizens are very aware, Vishnu, that they cannot vote for Modi and expect their infrastructure development in the state. They're very aware of that. And that's a major grouse people have right now, especially in the backdrop of the BJP party president saying, focus on love jihad and not on infrastructure issues in the state. So we will never make it into a national leader versus national leader. We know our local leaders are very important in the policy making decisions of Karnataka.
But is it also perhaps a recognition that if it's a national leader versus national leader, then Rahul Gandhi would really be stretched in taking on Narendra Modi? Is that a worry
No, absolutely not, Vishnu, because our party president, Mr. Mallikarjun Kharge, is a very tall leader from Karnataka, and it will be Mallikarjun Kharge ji who will be leading the election, if at all we are going to bring in the national leaders, you know, to be pitted against Modi ji. We have never done that. We will not continue to follow the footsteps of BJP, where they bring Modi for every elections as a star campaigner.
Mr. Kanagal, let me come to you, and I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. You've been very patiently waiting. You know, let's talk a little bit about reservation. The fact that the Bommai government has removed the 4% reservation which Muslims in the state access so far. Under the change rules, Muslims have now been brought under the EWS category. You know, they've opposed this. Is this an attempt? Do you see this as an attempt by the BJP to polarize the pitch, to get Hindutva being the defining electoral campaign for them? And is that something that worries you?
BJP has been in power for last 3.5 years in state, but in the last 3.5 years they never ever tried to do all these things in terms of reservations. In the issue of reservation, just before a week, before the week of election announcement, they got into this. Not only just this, but even other section also, knowing the fact that they will not going to come back to power, or neither they have to do this, they have to execute this. So they have done this purposefully to get some votes of Kaligas and Lingayats, which are going away from BJP. That's the reason they have done this. You know, in few months back, last few months, if you have aware, BJP tried to do some, you know, disturb, like, you know, communal disturb in Mandya, especially bringing two fictional characters called Uri Goda and Nanjay Goda, who killed Tipu Sultan, so that they wanted to fit like, you know, Wakaligas and Muslims, and polarize the voters and get a benefit out of it. When that thing is miserably failed, and it's been called out by our Wakaliga C. Nirmalananda Swamiji, then everything gone. Everything failed. BJP's plan was failed. Now they have come up with an alternate plan to attract Wakaligas and Wakaligas, sure, especially. So I don't think so. Wakaligas will fall. Pray for this attempt.
Veera Raghav, the new reservation policy, it's been welcomed by Lingayats. Perhaps that's who the BJP was targeting. It's also been welcomed, I'm told, by a section of Dalits. It's drawn the ire, obviously, of the Muslim community, but also the Wakaliga and Banjara communities. You know, there have been protests which have been staged in, I think it was on, the 26th or the 27th of this month. At one level, in as much as they've tried to reach out to the Lingayat community, do you believe that this is a strategy which may be backfiring for the BJP if their goal is to try and expand their vote bank?
Well, I'm not sure. I think that was primarily a last-minute attempt to try and create a narrative that can be potentially different. It wasn't just the Veerashaiva Lingayats, which is a subsect of the Lingayats, who were given that 2% that was removed from the minorities. It was also Wakaligas were given 2% reservation as well. The 4% was divided between the two. Now, the SCST issue is a little different in Karnataka. You've got, of course, the two SC right and SC left, as they classify in political analysis. One set reacts very differently to the other set. It would be interesting to see what kind of an experiment they make as we go along. But I think the objective of that move was to try and create potentially a narrative that could, something that could give them, take them beyond the Lingayat vote bank and their traditional social coalitions. As we discussed last evening as well, Vishnu, the question of whether Hindutva can overpower these social coalitions and caste arithmetic that Karnataka has dominated would depend on how powerful the BJP can create that narrative, and also the need for a leader who can take such a narrative forward. And I don't think at the moment they've got that, but they will be making an effort to do it. And as I explained last evening to you as well, that's primarily because that's the only way they see themselves growing to a party which can get a clear majority in an assembly election. So far, the BJP has fallen shy of that 112 mark. And to go beyond that, they need to alter the narrative in the state.
Veera Raghav, just in terms of the focus of this campaign for the Congress party, do you see Rahul Gandhi becoming an important factor? Because they've been focusing a great deal on the issue of A, of corruption, B, of infrastructure, right? And those are development issues which have done well in the past in Karnataka as well from an electoral standpoint. But Rahul Gandhi, in light of Bharat Jodo, this is his first major election, or one of his first major elections after that. Do you believe that he's going to be a big factor? The fact that the Congress is perhaps also casting him as some sort of a martyr, the fact that he's been sentenced to 2 years in jail, do you believe that you'll see a lot more of Rahul?
Irrespective of what Lavanya says, I think the Congress's deep down state leadership's worry was they did not want this turning into a Modi versus Rahul battle. They wanted this firmly to be a Modi versus the state leadership battle. They wanted their state leadership. They wanted their social coalitions to hold out. They didn't want an overarching narrative. Now that he's going to go on a campaign at Kolar, one needs to wait and see. I think from the Congress's point of view, it works best for them to keep it a local narrative. But the BJP, as we've seen from the Prime Minister's speeches and other campaign points, have been baiting the Congress into a Rahul versus Modi kind of battle. It will be interesting to watch that out. For the moment, I don't think the Congress would want that to happen. But sometimes you're not in control of the narratives. And I'm not sure how that will play out.
Mr. Rao, the other narrative is that of corruption, of late of Mr. Virupakshappa, the fact that those raids took place, he was denied the bail that he'd initially wanted. So, Mr. Rao, is that something the BJP is perhaps most worried about, that this entire narrative as far as, you know, corruption and a lack of governance. Those are the two issues which the JDS and Congress are focusing on.
Fair enough. Vishnu, just give me a minute and a half to explain both the scenarios. One is reservation and with regard to the corruption. With regard to the reservation, I think we've been candid enough, we've been categorical enough saying that the 4% what had been given under the 2B category under the erstwhile government of Mr. Devegowda in 1995 when the government order was given, I think we have been telling that that is actually a religion-based reservation which should not exist. Therefore, we have just followed the footsteps of our ancestors, especially Begum Aizaz Rasool and Jajmal Hussain, who were none less than the Constituent Assembly members. I remember in 26-5-1949, if I can remember the date perfectly, I think they had told nothing should be given in religion, it should be only on the economic backwardness. So we have just followed the footsteps of our freedom, you know, our leaders who had told this. In fact, Baba Sahib Ambedkar also had spoken about the same. So therefore, now for the Congress party to come and say this, I think I really feel they're unconstitutional. Point number one. Now, point number two, with regard to the corruption, I think Vishnu have told enough about this. I think we've been told enough about this. We have been time and again asking for them, kindly give us an evidence. They have no iota of evidence. And let me, for the sake of repetition, let me tell this. Kemparna, who was acting on behest of Mr. Siddaramaiah and made a press conference that day, he on record has told in July 2022, saying that he will be providing all the documents to the officials who will be coming from the central government. But alas, he did not give the documents. He made lots of allegation against one of our ministers.
Okay, Mr. Rao, let me get a response.
He got arrested. In spite of being arrested, he did not give the documents. Therefore, to say Congress toolkit seems to have not working properly. They have not given
Lavanya,
any
do not have evidence against
they
the BJP
closed,
and corruption.
They closed Lokayukta.
Madhu, one second. ACB. Let her reply. Points. Madhu, Lavanya, go ahead.
I think Madal Virupakshappa's arrest by the Lokayukta a couple of days ago is an answer enough for the corruption charges that has been leveled against the BJP party in Karnataka. And also, it was their own party worker who was a contractor who committed suicide, blaming Ishwarappa, and Ishwarappa had to resign from his ministerial berth. It was also one more, BJP party worker who was also a contractor who once again talked about the 40% commission Sarkar. The question is, what has the BJP government done to look into these corruption charges? Has Modi ji, to whom these contractors had written to, done anything to look into these corruption charges? They had the chief secretary of the state look into the corruption charges. Well, the chief secretary of Karnataka reports to the CM of Karnataka. So when the CM of Karnataka and his cabinet is accused of corruption, how fair do you think the investigation by the chief secretary is going to be? The High Court of Karnataka, the Honorable High Court, in August 2022 said nothing in Karnataka works, not a file moves without bribery. The corruption is everywhere, is what the High Court of Karnataka had said in August 2022.
Madhu, quickly reply.
I will give a rebuttal. I think the Congress party perhaps has not seen the High Court order. Para number 175 clearly indicts them, saying that if anyone was responsible for the closing of the Lokayukta and opening of the ACB, it's no one less than that of the Congress government. And you know what, Vishnu, I keep repeating this. I think perhaps the Congress party have deaf ears. They had all the plans of transferring the cases which were pitted against Siddaramaiah in the Lokayukta to be transferred to the ACB, thanks to High Court that they stopped all of those. And thanks to them that the Lokayukta is being there. We were the persons who were instrumental in the Supreme Court. We filed an affidavit saying that we needed a Lokayukta because of existing Lokayukta and a perfect working of the government as well as the Lokayukta. We've been able to allow them to arrest Virupakshappa, which could have not been done during the Congress regime.
Hello?
Why did Mr. Siddaramaiah close the Lokayukta and open the ACB?
Already, okay. Both of you, one second. Mr. Kanagal has a point to make, and that's going to be the last one on this program.
State government went to the court, backed ACB.
It was only for the existing cases which were there in the High Court. There were existing cases. We did not want the existing cases to be affected. Therefore, we don't let the ACB there. Apart from that, nothing else.
Number two, when you are talking about the witness proof, we have in the case of BMS College, we have provided the proof. We have provided proof to Mr. Modi
Why do you want Modi or Indian National Court of Justice? Please go to Lokayukta. I think there is a rule of law which you need to follow. If you do not know, please contact your battery of lawyers.
All of you, stay calm. Stay calm and conserve your energy. The election is still quite far away. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. Mr. Kanagal, we'll have you back on this program. Veera Raghav, we'll have you back on as well. But I'm out of time on Left, Right and Center.